I want to read just read two well-known scriptures in Luke's Gospel. First one in Luke 18. Luke 18 and verse 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good teacher, having done what, shall I inherit eternal life?" But Jesus said to him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honour thy father and thy mother." And he said, "All these things have I kept from my youth." And when Jesus had heard this, he said to him, "One thing is lacking to thee yet. Sell all that thou hast and distribute to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in the heavens, and come follow me." But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And then Luke 10, and just at the end of the chapter, verse 39. Luke 10 and verse 39, "And she had a sister called Mary, who also, having sat down at the feet of Jesus, was listening to his word. Now Martha was distracted with much serving, and coming up she said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Speak to her, therefore, that she may help me.' But Jesus answering said to her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but there is need of one. And Mary has chosen the good part, the which shall not be taken from her.'" Just want to speak tonight, dear friends, about one thing that's important. There was one thing that was important to these two people I've read about. And there's one thing tonight which is more important for you than anything else. There was one thing that was important for the unbeliever. And there's one thing that was important for the believer. Tonight, dear friend, I want you to understand that above all else, one thing. We often have spoken about this man in chapter 18. Certain ruler. Someone who had authority, a position, I suppose. And he came to Jesus, or he met the Lord Jesus. You know, God works behind the scenes, doesn't he? I wonder if you ever come into contact with Jesus. Have you had to do with him? This man, he had an inquiring mind. Probably he was trying to impress the Lord. He said, "Good teacher." I don't know his motives. God alone knows our motives. I can't look into your heart and you can't look into mine. But God sees everything. Nothing is hidden from him. He says everything is laid bare with him with whom we have to do. Not with whom we might have to do, but with whom we have to do. He can tell every man, woman and child tonight on the earth that someday they will have to do with God. Someday they will have to do with God. The gospel goes out tonight, dear friend, that you might have to do with him today. Because this is a day of grace. And God is for you. We read this afternoon of a day when God is going to come in judgment. But that's not the gospel. Today, right now, this very Lord's day, God is for you. He's shown his love towards you. You've only got to look at the cross to see that. You will have to do with God. This man, he was a man in dignity, I suppose, but he was trying to impress the Lord, maybe, I don't know. He says, "Good teacher." The Lord Jesus gives him an interesting answer. There's only one. What was Jesus really trying to say? Jesus was God and is God. He's not just a good teacher. You see, many in the world think just that he is a good teacher. They like the parables and they like the miracles. And they, sometimes you read of philosophers and Plato and Socrates, and on it goes down history, and then they throw the Lord in as one with it. But he's not just a good teacher. He's God manifest in the flesh, the blessed Son of God. And that's who is presented here. And so this man, he says, what do I have to do? Having done what? Isn't that just typical of the world's thinking? Maybe typical of yours. The religious man, what do I need to do? This man, you know, he says, I've kept all the commandments. Well, that was very fine, wasn't it? And the Lord doesn't actually question his answer. I mean, actually, as we know, that the Lord Jesus in other places exposes or expounds on that. He goes to the root of the situation. It's not just the external, but it's what comes from inside. So to keep the law, really, it's not just obeying the outward commandment, but if we go by the standard of the Lord, everything that we look at, our lust, our thoughts, the lies, shows that we've broken every one of them. Every one of them. Not just one, but all 10. But this man says, well, outwardly, I would seem to have, I've kept all these commandments, and the Lord doesn't question it. But he says there's one thing. And you know, there's just maybe one thing that's stumbling you tonight. Just one thing that's preventing you from being blessed. The Lord Jesus in his skill, you know, God in his infinite skill knows just where to test you. Just where to probe. Just where to probe, where to hit the spot. This man was very rich. For you and for me, it might be something entirely different. But there was something preventing him from coming into eternal life. He wasn't prepared to realize that he was just a sinner, that he was of no reputation. He wasn't prepared to go out of sight. The phrase in the world quite simply is that he wasn't prepared to put his money where his mouth was. You know, the gospel shows it all up, doesn't it? Lights it all up. You know, when you drive your car into the sun, what you thought was a clean windscreen, you realise that it's actually filthy. And that's what the light of the gospel does. It exposes all the filth, all the stain of sin. Exposes it. Everything is lit up by God's word. And you see what you are really like. Really, if you read the book of Romans, that's like that, isn't it? It's a light that pierces you. And exposes you for what you are. And so you say, who can deliver me from this body of death? Oh, wretched man that I am. Thank God there is an answer. And that's why the gospel is preached, because there is an answer. But this young man, he wasn't prepared to go, to do what Jesus said. He says he went away sorrowful. You know, that's a sad thing. And it doesn't ever say that he got blessed. But he had anguish of soul. You know, maybe you need to go through that. In one sense, it's true to say that if the gospel makes you uncomfortable, that's a good thing. Because it means you're having to do with God. You have to assess yourself in the light of God's word, and you realize who you are. This man, he did the right things outwardly, but he wasn't prepared to bottom it out. He wasn't prepared to come to the end of himself. That man in Luke 15, well, he hadn't got anything to brag about, had he? He spent all his money. This man had plenty of money. The man in Luke 15, he spent all his money. And it says he came to the end of himself. Coming to himself. He realized just who he was and what he'd done. This young man, he felt the edge of the word, but he wasn't prepared to do anything about it. Dear friend, tonight I pray that you might hear the edge of the word and that you might do something about it. Because the end of the gospel is not that you should go away sorrowful, but that you should go away rejoicing, being blessed in believing. But there's another thing here too. Not only, you see, it wasn't the fact, it's not giving money saves you. There are those that preach that sort of thing. You could give as much money as you possibly have. That wouldn't buy your salvation. But the point the Lord Jesus was making here was committal. Was he committed? Did he want, he said he wanted to do something to inherit eternal life. Well, the point is, dear friend, that you can't do anything. You need to really come to the end of yourself. Realize that I'm a sinner and I deserve hell. That I'm nothing and I'm nobody. And then God can bless you. So he says, he gets to the heart of this man's problem. And in the glad tidings, dear friend, tonight, I will pray that he gets the nub of your problem, whatever it is. But if you deal with it before God, there is blessing as a result. The appeal is to do what Jesus says. Obey the glad tidings. For us, we're not asked to give money or conform to this or that or the other, to do good works. But the appeal in the gospel is to do what Jesus says and come, follow me. That's what he says. Identify with him. Isn't he worth it? Think of what the Lord Jesus says to that man here. I think this is very affecting. He says, sell all that thou hast and distribute to the poor. Sell all thou hast. Doesn't that make you think of Jesus himself? He speaks in the parable in Matthew about a merchantman seeking pearls. And when he found one pearl of the greatest value, he sold whatever he had and bought it. And Jesus, the blessed Son of God, the creator of the universe, he came into this world, didn't he? He sold all that he had. What does it say in Philippians, that beautiful passage? For let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who subsisting in the form of God, did not esteem it an object of rapine to be on equality with God, but emptied himself, taking a bondman's form, taking his place in the likeness of man, and having been found in figure as a man, humbled himself. How different this is to the young man, isn't it? Humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, and that, the death of the cross. He sold whatever he had, and he did it for you, and he did it for me. Oh, the love of Jesus, the grace of Jesus. The Lord Jesus, the Son of God, God himself, came into this world, sold whatever he had. Physically, yes. Son of Man, they said, where does he abide? He says, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. born in a borrowed manger. You think of that. He created the heavens and the earth. He's got nowhere to lay his head. He sold whatever he had that he might obtain redemption for you and for me. How can that not affect you, dear friend? The love of God, seen in Christ, emptying himself, taking on a bondman's form, as obedient unto death, and that the death of the cross. Sometimes, you know, people have a problem with self-worth. They feel useless. This young man here, he didn't have that problem. But some people do. We live in a world increasingly where people are depressed, manically depressed, feel worthless and useless. But you know, you can tell them there is someone who died for them. What a difference that makes. Someone who died for them. It's a fact, isn't it? He sold whatever he had and was obedient unto death, and that the death of the cross. This man went away sorrowful. Tonight, dear friend, as you hear the call of Jesus, whatever is stumbling you tonight, whatever's in the way, get to God about it. He will remove it. You know, the devil, and we were reading about him this afternoon, he'll do anything to stop you being blessed. He'll put every barrier in the way tonight to stop you being blessed. But, you know, God is more powerful than the devil. The devil was a defeated foe. He was defeated at Calvary's cross. And if you want blessing tonight, if you want eternal life, as this young man did, if you ask God, he'll give it to you. Simply trust. Simple, isn't it, really? So simple, thousands miss it. Tonight, dear friends, whatever your circumstances, the devil may be against you, man may be against you, but God is for you. He wants to bless you. You just need to obey the call of the gospel. This young man didn't obey, and he went away sorrowful. You know, there is blessing in obedience. Blessing in obeying the gospel. Repent and believe. That's what God asked for. Repentance and faith. Repentance for what I've done wrong. This man, he thought he hadn't done anything wrong. Just like the elder son in Luke 15. Oh God, have mercy upon me, the sinner. That man, he went down to his house justified rather than the other. Dear friend, tonight, repent of your sins, and then the remedy is found in the Lord Jesus. That cross, even the death of the cross, it says, Jesus died the just for the unjust. We're unjust. We deserve to die. Eternal hell is a. Can you imagine that? I can't. It's more dreadful than I can imagine. And that's what's at stake tonight. Dear friends, these are eternal realities. This isn't just a nice story. These are things you need to sort out tonight between you and God. This man, he wanted life, but he wasn't prepared to go God's way. Tonight, what are you seeking? What are you looking for? May you find it. And I can tell you, you're going to only find it in obeying the glad tidings. Repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. It's just one thing that this man was lacking. One thing that was stopping him from being blessed tonight. Whatever that is tonight, and for you, dear friend, may God take it out of the way, that you might be blessed and follow Jesus. There's no better place to be than to be following him. This man thought he was happy. He wanted something extra. Dear friend, tonight, if you follow Jesus, you'll get more than you ever just dreamed of. There's wonderful blessing in following the Lord Jesus Christ. I just read the other scripture because, again, there's that phrase of one thing. We know this passage so well. The two sisters here. That Jesus says, there's need of one. Need of one. There's just one thing that's most important. I started this preaching by saying there's just one thing that's more important than anything else. There was one thing that was more important for that young man, that he obeyed the Lord. He submitted to him. Did what he asked. When it comes to this little household here, just one thing that was needful. Martha, you know, was cared. It's quite interesting, isn't it? It says here, she was distracted. And Jesus says, Martha, Martha. You know, in scripture, when their name is called twice, it means it's really important. And the Lord may be speaking to you tonight, and it's in really important. He says, Martha, Martha. What does he say? Thou art careful and troubled about many things. You know, this world we live in, when I look back over my short life, things were fairly carefree, I have to say. It was quite an easy life. Today, me, I could easily be. There's so many things against us, aren't there? We can be careful and troubled about many things. There's many things to be troubled about. But Jesus gently says that your sister has chosen the better part. Dear friend, tonight, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, maybe you've obeyed the gospel. You've got the blessing, unlike this young man in Luke 18. You've heard the gospel, you've responded to it. You've followed Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, you followed him. And I hope you would keep following him too. But here in this little home, there was one that was careful and troubled about many things. But the best part is to be with him, sitting at his feet, listening to his word. You know, that's where blessing is found, in the presence of Jesus. It's where blessing is found. It's a wonderful position to be. You recognize his authority. You recognize the comfort of his presence. You know, we live in very troubling times. Very troubling times. Things are going on. We've never seen the light before. The devil is ratcheting up his plans. But you know, we can be peaceful in the presence of Jesus. Peaceful in his presence. It's one thing, that one thing. There is need of one. And Mary has chosen the good part. Dear friends, tonight, my earnest desire is that you should respond to the Lord Jesus. Have to do with him. Realize that he died for you. He's risen and glorified. He's coming back soon. Think that. I know when I was a little boy, I remember brethren talking about it. And then as time goes on, you grow up and you think, well, I've heard all that before. Things now seem to be that it's quite evident that the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? But you can, you know, be in a spirit of calm and peace. The believer, you know, has peace beyond all understanding, because they know the one who made peace. Peace by the blood of his cross. A wonderful thing to know that everything is settled. You know, people are fearful, people are worried. You know, if you believe in Jesus as your Saviour and your Lord, you can have that rock solid assurance in your soul that nothing can touch. Paul said that angels and principalities and powers and demons, they can't touch you because of Jesus and his work and his precious blood. You're safe. What does the hymn say? Safe in the arms of Jesus. Pray tonight that each one of us here is safe in his arms. I just leave it with you. That's all I have to say. One thing that's more important than anything else, the first thing is that you get right with God. Have to do with him tonight. Realize that you're a sinner and that you need to be saved. Realize that you need to repent and that you need to trust in Jesus, because God is going to judge this world. He's going to bring in a judgment like you've never seen before. But the glad tidings is going out this very day that you might escape it. Paul says this, our deliverer from the coming wrath. How wonderful that is. We have a deliverer. The believer knows someone who's conquered everything. He's a mighty victor. May you trust him tonight. Put your trust in him and what he's done, where he is. May you follow him in the way. I often speak of that blind Bartimaeus. It says at the end of the story, he followed him in the way. May we follow Jesus in that way. The way it leads to life and glory and blessing. And it's open to you tonight if you only turn to him. May you do so for his name's sake.